This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
It's the Big Time Plus Podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Stellar Mars. I'm here with my bestie. Her name is
Melissa. I already said it.
So this year we're going to, I'm saying that we're starting off with all these mental health, like positive topics. And I say this new year and it's March, so I need to relax.
you have no chill.
So number one, our topic for today in 2024, our first one is adult friendships.
So, I don't know if I clap at that.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not really on the fence.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm a fan.
The reason why we're talking about this is because it sucks. Not that it's cool. Well, I don't know anybody that has a full-ass social life outside of what they do. But it's like, I think it's a life phase thing, but also, so like the friends of mine that have like high school kids or like junior high kids, and they can go out and it seems like they have a full, they go out and they go drinking and they have fun and they do this and this. And then I look at it and I'm like, I don't have time for that. So I don't know if it's me not prioritizing friends, which is my assumption, or I don't want friends like, so that's kind of where I'm at with adult friendships. I lost, once you graduate high school, I feel like it's, your friends come from either college or high school, or workplace.
Jail. You meant jail?
Jail.
Prison?
Yes.
In the hard four you did.
When you're on the corner, pimping yourself out, and you're out of money. So I don't know. I personally have always had a hard time with friendships, and I know that that's because I've moved around so much. So I know how to like make acquaintances and make good friends, but I'm always used to moving. So I went to like 9 different high schools. Moved from Texas to California to wherever. And then by the time I get to know somebody, I was living with my parents, but then, we would move or something. So for me, as a 39-year-old who works from home, 100% of the time, to where realistically I don't have to leave my house ever, but it's just hard to think that friendships are either worth it or real. I don't know. I'm somewhere in between there. As in locally, like new friends.
Yeah. I don't know. I've gone through like several different phases. I had like a neatly packed little friend group and we went out like pretty often, but as soon as one of the couples break up, it implodes. I don't know why it can't function after that. It's like, if you watch Friends, you think like everything's going to be fine no matter what happens, but it's not fine.
Blueprint. Hello. It's not to work out like that.
I watched Friends. Why don't I have friends? I watched it so much.
I don't get it. I'm such a Rachel.
You just buy your friend a meatball sub and then you're good.
And then you tell them you're pregnant like and then, I forget what episode.
Yeah, so like I find that like I form like these kind of really quick friendships where you seem like you have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. And it's really awesome and it's really exciting because that doesn't happen super often.
Yeah.
But with a lot of the people that I meet like locally like that, I'm like, we're so on the same page, the same wavelength, and it's so exciting. And then they do something crazy, like batshit insane. And I'm just like, oh. So then I was thinking, like, because you were talking about Tinder, and I'm like, so you have a thing where you could like make friends on Tinder, right?
Yeah.
You know, supposedly. I don't really know if people are using it that way. That's weird, but I mean, maybe that would be better because you could like do some vetting for like,
so, like you don't smoke
crack, right?
Yeah.
Or they're like, you know, you walk in their house and it's like stolen merchandise and they're like, oh yeah, it's just my dad though. I'm not involved. You're like, oh my God, is anybody normal at all? Like I'm not normal. I don't think I'm normal, but like I'm normal compared to that. Like I don't have, if you come over, I don't have like a mafioso thing going on in my house. And I'm not like,
yeah,
telling, you know, saying I'm going to go get a cookie and it's like meth.
Like,
and I'm very naive. So if you said a cookie to me, I'd be like, cool, you got the munchies. And they're like, no, I'm breaking off a piece of this crack rock or whatever.
Let me see. If I had to think about the last, let's say, 5 times I've hung out with somebody, and I think it's all been dudes because, okay, let me just lay the land out. So I honestly do feel like I have, well, I know I do because my therapist also says so. just making friends. I know how to do it. I'm not, and like I know how to talk to people and stuff. Because I used to be in sales kind of like account management. So like I know how to BS really well. Like, oh my gosh.
Good to know.
Yeah. finally, like I stayed over at his house and then we went to the store the next day. He had just gotten a new kitten. So, and he never had a cat before. So I was kind of showing him it was for his daughter. So we go to Target and we're just shopping. What in Target, like and two adults going to Target, one of them steals a bunch of shit. And then I didn't know. So he goes,
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He goes, anyone who pays full price at Target is a sucker. I'm like, no, you're 42. You don't need to be stealing from Target. He did the scanner in the front thing. And I was like, you're doing it wrong. He's like, no, it's fine. And oh, that's
so he
why.
Had like a hole.
Yeah.
So it looked like he was scanning it and he would just drop it in the bag and then like pay for every fifth item or something.
Yeah. Or he would pretend like he scanned something it. Like, he would scan everything like in the basket, like a carry basket. He would just take the whatever thing, the scanner, scan everything in the basket and then put it all at the same time into the Target bag. So he probably scanned 3 things. And there were 5 things, you know. So then I was like, okay. Oh, and then he was in the Marines and then gotten a new dog. And it was a black dog and it was a Rottweiler. And then we go into the garage and he goes, give me a little N-word.
Oh.
He's not, and dude's not black. He's Hispanic.
Oh. That's and still not okay.
I know. And I'm like,
you don't get a pass.
Like, he says, we all do it in the Marines. I'm like, does that make it okay? I don't think so.
Like, do we do that?
I don't know. But at the same time, I was watching this. I don't know if it was a movie. I think it was a series. And like all the guys under, you know, when they're out of the country, it's just all like all slurs. But like, as in regular talk. So like, the F word that means gay, and then this word, and they're just throwing it around. And I guess I don't know. So that was,
so it's
I was
like the '80s again.
Yes, exactly.
Where the '80s were like that. It was like the Wild West. You could just call anybody anything, and then
you're like, okay,
tell them to go cry about it.
In a way, do you feel like that is an acceptable thing that could come back meaning like I feel like we've strayed so far to the other side to where everyone gets offended by everything. And I'm not saying like, you know, some really, really bad words. But like, I feel like we might be in a better place as a society if everyone can just like understand that not everything is a direct attack on somebody else. And I feel like we're better at that than you. But yeah. I don't know.
Well, it wasn't so like polarized. So right now, you know, you can't say, this is my issue, is that like, if you want to keep certain words off the internet, you know, as far as like your podcast or your videos or whatever, I get that. Like, you don't want to say racial slurs. Totally get that. Makes sense to me. But like when you can't say actual words that have actual meanings that aren't, they're neutral. They're not good or bad. They're just like an act that happened.
Right.
And you can't say that word, any of the words. Like what?
Yeah.
So we're all talking in this stupid code now. And I'm like, how far is that going to go? Are we going to have codes for like steak soon? Like just everything's going to be
because
like
a carnivore. If you're a vegan, do not say
right.
Any you kind could, of meat in front of me. You're going to offend me. Yeah.
A vegan could be triggered. I don't want to. Oh my gosh. It's just so much. And then I think people like start giving up on it. They're like, screw it. I don't even want to be involved.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to accidentally mess up by saying a word that's been okay for like forever.
Oh yeah.
Because it's not a slur and it's not even a negative word. Like the act might be a negative act. Like now, okay. When you have to say schmurder.
But do we?
Yeah, we do. Because I think if you say those words, they cut you. You can't buy.
I mean, it makes sense, but it also takes everything away.
Yeah, but it's all of those words, though. And, you know. Yeah,
like great.
But, you know, like, okay, so me saying unaliving. Is unaliving not going to trigger you if you're going to be triggered
right.
by that discussion? No. Because you know what that means? You're not stupid. Like it doesn't make a difference.
You know what I also think it does? Yeah. And like it changes it not by much because I'm sure it doesn't make that much of a difference, but it changes like the way people who don't speak English would be like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like you say grape.
It must be so confusing for them. Oh my God. I never really thought about that until just now. And I'm like, you know what? No wonder they give up. Like some people just give up trying to speak English, especially if they're older when they come here.
Yeah.
Because we're talking like crazy people now. Like it's crazy to me. I'm like, why are we doing like all this? We're doing all this extra.
No, I agree.
I don't really get it. Like, I don't think that we should have any sort of like any kind of nicknames for races or lifestyles or whatever, because it gets messy really fast and people could, you know, it changes whether or not it's offensive one day to the next. So like, just, don't use those.
That's right.
You don't really need to use those though.
Good point.
To tell a story, to talk about an event. But if there was a shooting and 23 people were unalived, that sounds so, you know,
You're almost doing it disservice to the people that it happens to in a way. I mean, kind of.
Well, because a violent, terrible thing happened to them and unalive just sounds like, I don't know, like they were a
sugarcoating program
that was deleted. So Jonathan was unalive. So we're moving on. It's like, no.
Wow.
Like he's a person. Like, I think people have a difference of opinion on a lot of things, but like, I think it's a sad, I don't know what the statistic is. I'm sure you could look it up and find that it's really high. Pretty much every woman of every age that I know has been SA'd at some point to some degree.
Right.
And I think when you even say SA'd, I get it. You're trying to not trigger people, but as someone that's been through the experience and is a woman, I'm like, that sounds like, you know, a mundane task that I did. like it was a horrifying experience, you know. And
it almost makes it okay to joke about. I don't know if you say like
it seems more lighthearted.
Yeah.
And but if you think about it, like the words that describe violence and terrible things are kind of harsh sounding words.
Yeah.
And I think that they're harsh sounding words for a reason because they're violent and horrifying and bad. So yeah, I don't know where we're going to go there, but
we need to start. Yeah.
Keep, like continue that.
I mean, by the time,
like, I'm like, I'm turning into a boomer.
When you have Jerry Seinfeld, and I know they're older comedians, whatever, but they're all saying that it's like, they won't do any college gigs anymore because the college students are quote unquote too woke.
Yeah. They're offended by everything.
And everyone's playing into their own stereotypes, making it worse. Probably, I don't know, maybe they don't see it, but it's true. College, like when I went to college, I feel like it was still normal. It was like 20 years ago. Not, oh my God, people say stuff, but you just kind of let it roll. But now if you associate with the person who isn't even directly connected to something, but maybe they support Palestine instead of Israel, whatever, it's like you can get canceled through somebody else. I think that is a trust issue. My trust issues in friendships are exacerbated. I should just not use that word.
You said it right. Okay. Exacerbated.
Exacerbated by these
you
things.
You did it.
Yeah. By things like that. I'm just like, everybody will flip on you. This is my mentality. Everyone, any of your friends will flip on you. I've been not married for 7 years now, I think. And, you know, the first couple of years were fun, but then now I'm at the point, thank you, where I'm like,
we should not be married.
Thank you.
You did a middle.
So I found it easier and preferable at the moment to, instead of going and trying to make actual friends, that if I get lonely, I'll go and hang out with somebody from Tinder because it's easier, less drama, and I don't have to deal with it afterwards. I'm so terrified of making friends that I like put myself in danger. So I don't know.
I think that it's interesting though, because like, so because you're straight, you're hanging out with dudes if you do the Tinder route, right? And I would say, generally speaking, their friendships are more simple.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like they get in a fight, punch each other in the arm, call each other names, and then they're like,
yeah,
fine after that. Like it just ends, right? Girls are so complicated. And if you have, I think it's losing a friend of the same like gender or whatever, where you're really close, especially women, because they get really close. I think that that's almost more harmful than like a regular breakup, yes, like a romantic breakup, because you're like, anytime something happens to you, the first person you go to call, you can't call because you have a friendship breakup, and no one ever sees that coming. And they don't cheat on you. They just like, just something shifts and you didn't talk about it, or like a miscommunication, or who knows. But I think like that only really has to happen to you once. Well, like with romantic relationships, you get cheated on once and you have to like get over that fear. So I think with friendships, I think people do the same thing, and they, you know, whether they say it out loud or not, they're like, well, this one's going to leave.
Yeah.
This one's going to move away. This one's going to
take
a job in another big city and move out of here. And then I'll be alone. I'll start all over again. And I think it just gets harder the older you get, because you're like, I don't want to start all over again. I told that bitch everything about me. I can't just download it onto you. Like I have to go through and I got to spend a whole other like 2 years cultivating a, you know, relationship with you as a friend. And it's just like, and I just had like mostly where I get really like stoked about somebody. almost like when you get a crush on somebody. So like, I'll joke and say like, I have a girl crush on someone because I think they're really cool. Like I'll have a really cool conversation and be like, this is really rad. I felt like really heard when I talked to them. And then there's just like a character flaw. And I'm not saying, you know, people can get too picky, but I don't think it's too picky. It's like, you know, you find out that they've never paid taxes,
right?
And that they've never really worked a real job. Or like, it's just things that you're I'm trying not to be judgmental, but like, I work my ass off for my stuff. how can we get past that?
I like your comment about men being just having a simpler way to live their relationships with their friends out, because that explains, I think, or that helps rationalize at least a little bit of the thing that I do, where it's like I like to hang out with guys more often. I think it's because it's just they're easier to come up with the excuse that why we're not hanging out anymore. Like, even if it's not relationship or sexual or anything, it's like, oh, well, he probably got a girlfriend, probably doesn't want to hang out anymore. Oh, he, you know, blah, blah, blah. Where for girls,
those friendships can just fall off. Like, you can just kind of fall off with someone and then jump back on later, like, depending on the ebb and flow of your life. But girls, women do not do that. Like, you are my sister. Where are you? I need you right now. And it's like, I'm barely like staying, keeping my head above water. So like, guys don't do that. They don't really rely on each other. And it's kind of sad actually that they can't, or they don't, they don't talk about their emotions with each other, even though they're having a very much like shared experience, rather than like, you know, you can come home and talk to your wife and that's awesome if you have that relationship. But like, am I really going to know what that feels like that he's talking about? No. I mean, I'm very empathic. I can, I can understand things, but it's just, I think it's kind of sad that like guys can't talk to each other about shit they're going through like we do.
Yeah.
You know, like if I say to somebody like, oh, well, I got a hysterectomy at 35. Like, seven women will come out of the woodwork and be like, me too, let's talk about it.
If you're in, like, any kind of team sport, like, that energy and that, you know, environment is unparalleled. Like, it's amazing. Like, you know that these people are, you know, here for you. You guys have all the same goals. I really like that they're starting to be very, like, they're open. So like Travis Kelce was crying about, it was very sweet how his brother retired, and that he's like, it's just never going to be the same playing NFL anymore. It's like, I don't know if it's worth it. And, you know, he was crying while he said it. And then Jason Kelce was, you know, one of the things they commented on that called out, they're like, he said, I hear you, instead of saying it'll be okay. So like things like that. At least for the men's side, I hope that lightens up a little bit.
I mean, it's really just they're not, you know, they weren't taught those tools. Yeah. So I think as we progress and they have some issues and they go to therapy and they start, you know, working through them, they start, you know, gaining those tools, and then they try to implement them and they're like, oh, wow, that conversation went much better.
Yeah.
when I like validated what the person said before I tried to give them a bunch of advice they didn't ask for, you know? And because I have a lot of guy friends, and I've had them ask me, and this was really impressive to me. I said, like, I'm going through this thing, whatever, explained it a little bit. And my one friend said, okay, do you want me to be the friend that gives you advice? Or do you just need me to hear you right now and be on your side? And I was like, that's really awesome that you asked me that, because it does matter. It's like, sometimes you're just processing things, and, you know, men and some women are that type, you know, just that type. They like to come in and fix things.
Yeah.
So they want to fix it. And like, emotions, you can't just fix like that sometimes. Sometimes they just need to be like processed and worked through. And
yeah. Like, do you want me to be hype man, or do you want me to be, you know, listen intently with advice?
I think just being all they need to do is at one time to be made aware that there are different reactions to have to what's going on around you. And that mm-hmm. when people are talking, like their number one thing that they need is to be validated.
Mm-hmm.
Always. It doesn't matter if they think they need it or not, they do. Because if they don't feel heard, then no matter what comes after that, they're just going to be like, you know, they're going to feel isolated and alone. They'll be like, I talked to him about all my problems, but he just said, screw that bitch. She is an ugly whore. And that's not what I needed to hear. I needed to hear, right. Like,
yeah,
man, it sounds like you're really hurting and I'm so sorry you're going through that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like attacking the other person or saying, and sometimes they're at a stage where they need to just say funny stuff and like shit talk their ex or whatever to, you know, as that part of sort of like getting over it.
Yeah.
So yeah, asking is pretty cool.
I've
definitely, since I was asked, I was like, I should ask more. Or I'd be like, do you want to, I guess I ask permission. Like, do you want to hear my thoughts on it? Or like, do you want to hear a story that I have that's kind of similar to that? Or
yeah,
like I give options. I give like three options and then which one would you like to go down today? Well, the other thing I noticed is when I, you know, when you go through something that's difficult, not everybody, but me, I speak for myself, but I think a lot of people feel this way. They stop posting on social media, because when you go on social media, everyone's posting like pictures or something fun or a joke or something. But if you're going through a hard time, you don't want anyone to ask you how you're doing, because you can't answer honestly, or it's going to be depressing and they're going to feel awkward, and it's going to be, then you're going to feel like you did something bad and like feel ashamed that you're not having a good time right now. So they start to like self-isolate. And so that's something that happens. And I mean, that's just like not having enough money, all sorts of different things. And friendships kind of like drift apart over it, you know?
It does, because I got off it for like probably 2 years, and it aligned with when I had a relationship, because I needed to keep a better, I just wanted to be a better role model at that time. But now that I'm single, I just started posting and I just started reconnecting with the same people that I talked to before. And what's the most interesting is that I do feel like there's that thing that I posted on Instagram, I think, the other day, where it's like the people you've never met in real life and they're only on social media are like your biggest fans or supporters or whatever. And it's so true. Like they've always been there. They're like super nice. They listen. They know they remember what's going on in my life. You know, I see how people can get stuck just behind a screen and be okay with it. Another thing that adds to the whole insecurity thing is the fact that I got laid off around the same time that all this shit started happening. My 10 years of putting everything, like I took a shorter maternity break because I cared about coming back to work because I thought it'd make me look good. You know what I mean? Like I'm a good worker. I'm a hard worker.
Well, also people are fearful, you know, like I don't want someone else to surpass me because they'll think I'm lazy or I'm trying to milk this whole motherhood thing. So I'll just rush back. And it's like,
yeah,
in retrospect, you're like, I should have just cared about myself first because it's a job. But, you know, until you get knocked down like that and realize that like they don't have your back, it's just business or whatever. And I guess, you know, it sort of has to be that way. But, I don't know. I think if we all sort of like started out with that mindset, maybe we'd make better choices about our life, like our work life balance and all of that. I remember working for hospice and there was a lady who had injured herself and she was out for a while. And then she was on like light duty and she's a nurse. And so they were really like trying to put pressure on her to go back on like full duty, even though she was still injured. And,
oh my gosh,
suddenly her mother was on hospice and dying. And I remember sitting at a meeting and she was tearing up, and I just went over and I like held her arm and I said, "What, are you okay? What's going on?" And she said, my mom is dying. And I was like, "You need to get out of here. You need to go be with your mom." Like, and she's like, "No, they'll fire me." And even like the team doctor was like, "I'll talk to them. Just go. You need to go." So, I mean, that's what we were doing for a living, was taking care of dying people. But she was so scared of losing her job that she wasn't going to her own dying person.
Wow.
And it was really like eye opening, because I was like,
"Yeah,
are you really at risk of being fired, or do you just perceive that?" But now that I was laid off, I'm like, well, maybe she had a point. But it's
like, if they're looking for something, yeah. Like, if they're looking for something, they can find something. As the elder side of the millennial range, I know when we went into the workforce, the vibe was still like, get in before your boss, leave after your boss, work really hard. Yep. If you get a job somewhere, stay as long as you can. Like, I took a shorter maternity break because I cared about coming back to work. Because I thought it'd make me look good. You know what I mean? Like,
it's traumatizing. It's traumatizing. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, in therapy, my therapist basically said, like, you had a lot of trauma in the past two years. And I was like, oh, like, I hadn't even thought of it that way. But she's like, you were laid off. And she's like, she quoted me that I said, I feel like it changed my DNA. Like, nothing was the same anymore.
Yeah.
I didn't view anything the same anymore. I'm like, nobody's safe in their job. Even if you think you are, I felt extremely safe in my job because I worked really hard to let my company know that I was really committed. And when it happened, they were like, this isn't you at all. My last evaluation before that was amazing. It was the best one that I'd had there. So they were just like, you know, them's the breaks, kids. It's like, well, all right. That's a lot for process. Like, okay, I didn't do anything wrong. They're actually saying I was a really good worker and they're going to miss me. What? Like, then why is this happening? And so my therapist was like, okay, so you had that. Everybody was traumatized by COVID. And I was like, also another thing that we just got through, fight or flight, you know? So we didn't like really process that afterwards. It was just like, it's over, I'm sick of this. And no one wanted to talk about it. But I feel like everyone feels like they like lost 2 years of their life, kind of, in a way. Like, suddenly I felt older than I should be. And I was like, oh, it's because we were just like going through the motions for at least a year. So like, my son turned into a teenager, like, and his went through puberty during COVID. And then like, I felt like I blinked and we just were in the future. And I was like, oh, like, I haven't done anything. Like, I haven't done anything for 2 years. I haven't traveled. I haven't had vacation. I haven't accomplished anything different. It's just, It's a lot to kind of, you know, to cope with.
But yeah, I mean, getting laid off is worse than a breakup or divorce or anything, because your job's not going to cheat on you. And it's another one that's easy to, if you just kind of, the more you put it off, like trying to rectify it, the worse it gets. And then there's like a point of no return. And that's where I don't want to get. I don't think I'm getting close to it, but I could definitely see a world where it's easier just to
be in,
just to live alone. You know, my mom's always like, you will find somebody. And I'm like, annoying.
The thing,
I just can't see it happening right now.
The thing though, is that like, when I was like single and I'm like, all right, what am I taking from my last relationship and applying to my life, so that like, clearly that was not a good thing and I need to prevent that from happening again. Who do I want if not this person, or, you know? And I basically came up with like a really strict like list of things, and my husband just happened to match those things. So
Wow.
Yeah. And like, it was the same on his end. We both had like 6-year relationships at the same time. Like our timelines matched up and we both kind of had the same like ending where we were like, this relationship has been over for probably a year and we were like beating a dead horse. So when it was, when it was like over, it was like, I have feelings, but you know, it's like, I've been thinking about how we don't really have a relationship for a year and now it's just like finalized. And it wasn't like, you know, people are like, well, you got to take 2 years for yourself and get to know yourself. And I'm like, I know myself. I knew myself the whole time I was in that relationship, not getting what I needed, unfortunately. I was like, so if somebody comes along and has the things that I've needed all this time, I'm not going to be like, well, hit the road. I haven't had enough time off to heal myself. Like, no, I didn't. That's not how I felt about it.
I got 6 more months left.
I mean, like, I was cautious. Yeah. I was like, you know, but, you know, I was like, if you have a chance at happiness, you should jump at it. Not because you're settling, but if it's like, there's so much here.
That's where I'm going to need you.
To be like,
I'm going to be like, is this worth?
No. Well, that's why I have like a checklist.
Yeah. I maybe we'll do that when I come there. I'm not good at picking. I'm apparently. Cause they told me no. They said, don't do it. And I did it anyway. Getting married. And here I am.
So. Well, I did that the first time too. I actually right after the wedding, like right after the ceremony, I went, uh-huh. Oh my God, I fucked up. Like it was that fast.
Yeah.
Cause you know, you feel things before, but then there's also cold feet and you hear about, you know, runaway brides and then they realize, oh, I was just scared. So I just was like, I'm in too deep and I have all these people coming to see this thing.
Yes.
And you know,
that's exactly
it. If you put yourself last, then you're like worried about disappointing all these guests when you should be like, wait, this is like the biggest life decision I'm making at this point. Like my priorities are so screwed up. Like I'm worried about like, what if they already bought plane tickets? Like, okay, well they'll have to deal with it, I guess. Sign a contract that your life's going to be joined to someone because you're worried about your aunt's, you know, refundable plane ticket or not. She could trade it in. She could use it to go to Boca or something.
Yeah. Or she could shut her mouth. If she wanted to visit more often, she should have done it then.
I said, you know, I kind of was talking myself through it because I didn't even want to admit it to anybody.
Right.
I was having doubts because I'm like, oh God, you just feel stupid. Uh-huh. I think that was definitely an ego thing. Cause I mean, I was young. I wasn't super duper young, but I mean like I was young enough that I was at the age where like, I should be able to like, just know, you know, all the stupid stuff that people tell you, like when it's right, you'll just know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I guess I just know, I guess I want to get married. I guess I love him. I guess blah, blah, blah. And then I had like, you know, jitters that's how it's described to you. So it's like everyone gaslights you before your wedding. Everyone gaslights you instead of actually listening.
It's fine. Yeah.
This happens to everyone. It's normal. And right afterwards, you'll be so relieved. And right afterwards is when reality hit. And I was like, oh my God. I just like, really, really, really messed up.
Oopsies.
Whoops. Yeah. And then we had to be on a cruise with like all of his people and all of my people for like 7 days or something.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, well, I guess we're going to make the best of it. So, yeah, I didn't tell anybody, like nobody on the cruise, not my family, my friends. I didn't tell anybody that I had that realization because I was just like, I will sound so stupid.
And like people would, I was worried like my parents would forever be like, well, can't let you make decisions about your life anymore.
I guess it's kind of the same thing that they would be like, I can't believe you made such stupid decisions. Like, why did you make these stupid choices? Why did you do this at all? Why didn't you, you know?
That's why, and that's why kids should not get married so young, because they're still in that mindset, that mentality. If I don't do it right, my parents are going to get mad at me. If my parents are mad at me, then they're not going to do this. And then this and this and this. Once you're 30, or you're like, okay, like, I know for a fact that my parents' opinions aren't going to alter what I want to do with my life. So if they say they don't like something, their opinion weighs way less than it did when you were 20 something, you know? So, and as a,
for sure, they're really, they're still really important at that point.
Right.
Like, they can make or break you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You go to them with an idea, like, I think I'm going to be this. And they say, like, that's stupid. You'll never make any money. You won't, you know, it's kind of soul crushing at that point. Now, if I said something and they said, you know, whatever, I'd be like, well, whatever. I did my own research and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. It's like, I guess I don't need your sign off.
I feel like I'm like just a really, really late bloomer.
I don't think you're late.
Well, I mean, like, I have a lot of very healthy ways of looking at things now, but I'm like 44. Like,
I think,
like, I guess,
yeah.
Maybe that's normal. Maybe that's
normal
age where, like, people figure stuff out. But it's just not portrayed that way anyway.
No, it's not. But I firmly believe that it is, like, just for looking back, 20s are insane to try to make any decision, like any giant decision.
God, what a nightmare.
Like,
I would never go back to my 20s.
No. No. I almost died.
My butt was. Yeah.
Even though I looked like
my 20-year-old body.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
But I would never go back to then, though, because I had so much, like, inner turmoil. Like, I didn't believe in myself a lot, you know, life was a lot harder. And it was a lot harder, like, being in this body. I know that sounds weird, but everything was harder.
Yeah.
You know, that's the age where, like, people have eating disorders, like, or they really start to manifest. But now I understand why, like, women say that the 40s are the best, because you really sort of, like, all the puzzle pieces just kind of fall together and you're like, oh, wow. Like, that was so much more simple than why did I make it seem so confusing? It's
right.
Just like A, B, C, D, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's,
yeah.
But, you know, we overcomplicate things when we're younger. And then, you know, part of me thinks that I'm like, well, now I simplify things because I'm old and tired. I'm like, I don't have the energy to stay up all night worrying about that crap.
I think from everything I've heard and what I understand, but what I've seen and what we talk about, 40s are the golden, I don't want to say golden, but 40s are the best years of a woman's life. For those exact reason.
I think that's when those are like your power years. So, like, every decade you have a different purpose. 40s, it's kind of like you chill out and realize, like, you start really wanting to simplify life and kind of, like, weed out the things that aren't that important.
Yeah.
Which is huge. And also you don't have the same emotional and mental attachment to those things. So it's easy to let them go, because you're like, no big deal. Well, that doesn't really matter. All that matters is, like, my family and the health and whatever. And, you know, by then you start recognizing, hopefully, you start recognizing patterns in your life and working towards fixing them.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's kind of like a period of, like, an awakening. So whenever, like, all these, you know, girls are getting close to their 40s, I'm like, no, 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 it's all good. You'll love it. Trust me. I know it sounds really scary, but it's not. Like, it's actually really cool. I don't know about 50. That scares me, but I know that 40s are definitely. I think they're good. think my parents have no AC and they're going to come over here, because I saw a message come through from them and they were like, we don't know what you're doing, but we don't have AC over here. And I was like, oh, God, no.
Oh,
kill me.
All right.
Bye. Bye.